Lord, thank you so much for this time together. We look forward to it. And we all raise our concern and our prayers, Lord, for the church and for our nation, and hoping for a quick return to unity together in person, worshiping you, Lord. Please make that happen, Lord. We give it to you. In your name, amen. We're going to get started with the Sunday school on the book of Job. And we're going to take a maybe a little bit different approach than what you've done in the past with the book. I know when I first mentioned last week to Pastor I'd be willing to teach a Sunday school, so I have time right now to invest in preparation in that. I had mentioned it to Grant, and I'd said that I'd like to do a study on Job, and it's kind of like, oh, we've done that. But it was a number of years ago, and the approach that I'd like to take, I think, is a little different, because we've all read through the book, and it can be a difficult book to understand and a difficult book to get into, and it can be kind of a downer as well, as you all know. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look a little bit deeper at the time period and the culture, and we're going to do some homework, and we're going to do more of a kind of a topical slash summary way of doing the book, and hopefully we'll be done with it in 4 weeks. So that's the plan. So today is going to be an introduction to Job the person, his time, and we're going to talk about a kind of an overview of what we can learn from the book when we dig deeper. So we'll get started here. These are kind of like the three main things that we're going to do during this study of Job. We're going to talk about what and who is God. I know it sounds a little odd to phrase the question as what is God, but that's important to establish what God is first before we talk about who he is, especially now the way our culture is going. And who Job was, and a corollary to that is we can get a deeper understanding who are we as humans in relation to God. And then we can also learn a little Hebrew, and I just, a little, as we do this. Why? Why would we bother? I think, for me, there's been two main reasons. One is, as we all know, the scriptures are written, inspired by God through humans in the original languages. And the closer that I can get to understand the original language it was written in, I feel like the closer I can get to understanding what God means for me, what he means to communicate to me. The second reason is that it also, because Jesus came and was a part of that culture and a part of that people, I feel like that I can get maybe a little bit more personal in my relationship with him if I understand his culture and his language. So those are just two personal reasons. It's also a little bit fun once you start to get it a little bit. So bear with me. I certainly was not talented in languages in school. That was my worst subject, foreign languages. So if I can do it, you guys can. So this chart that I handed out, I have extra copies, and some people may not have gotten. Raise your hand if you didn't get one. This is a chart that I put together that will help you. And right now, I know it looks totally overwhelming and ridiculous, but bear with me, and you could put some effort into it or not. It's totally up to you. Hebrew, of course, is a language written in characters that do not use the Roman alphabet, and that makes it more difficult. But this chart will help you to learn the alphabet and how to pronounce the Hebrew characters. The middle column, that's titled Sans Serif, is the simplified way to write Hebrew, that the way it's written now, if you go to Israel and you look at road signs, it's going to use the sans serif characters, not the, you know, sort of like the textbook kind of way to print Hebrew, which is on the left. So we'll go along and let's see if this pointer works. Yes, it does. Okay, so we'll talk about more about this later when we have time. To start off our thought process, though, on Job and his time, I thought that I'd show you guys this short clip, which is kind of fun. BC.
Something my family says. It's a greeting of peace. You won't find much of that here, I'm afraid. I'm Jacob.
I'm Nassim.
Nassim, I will offer you something to drink. As you can see, we've just begun work on our well.
You bought this land from the sons of Hebrew.
For only 100 cases, can you believe it?
I believe it every time the princes of this land cheat another foreigner. You have cost a day to pay that 100 cases.
And what do you think would have been a fair price?
0%, 0 goats, 0.
Yeah, well, some work the land, and once we strike water...
You will never strike water. Yes, the recent rain makes the land look lush, but the underground river runs around the mountain, most of it.
Our God takes care of us.
This is Canaan. The gods are not nice here.
We won't be here that long. We are sojourners.
And what are you looking for?
A land, our God promised my grandfather, Abraham.
Your grandfather? You ever notice how the gods are always promising us things, but we never really see them happen?
Sometimes it takes generations.
Such a story. So, what is this God of yours called anyway?
El Shaddai. Not many people have, but I think someday they will.
You have no home? Where's your temple for this God?
He has no temple.
So where do you worship?
In altars, wherever we go.
And you do not carry him?
No. There are no carved titles of him.
So it's a wisdom?
Yes. Well, usually. There was one time he broke my hip.
Oh, no. I've heard enough. Of all the gods you could possibly choose from, you pick an invisible God whose promises take generations to come true. Who makes you sojourn in strange places and you broke your hip? That is a strange choice.
My friends.
We didn't choose him.
Praise him for choosing each one of us as well. Amen. So, let's talk about Job, and let's put him into the context of his time, which really, really will help us to understand as we read the book, I think, deeper, the discussions that go back and forth between Job and his companions. I like to put the timeline of history into 500-year chunks, and some of these things are not exactly on the 500-year mark, but I approximate, so I remember. So I don't have to look it up. And so you can too. We had 2500 BC, Noah and Nimrod. The flood and Babel. Nimrod being the not follower of God who built the Tower of Babel and was the leader of one of the first ancient civilizations, the Sumerian civilization in the Fertile Crescent of the Middle East. And then Abraham at 2,000. And then, as you know, that clip that we watched was of Jacob. So this would be the time of Abraham, 2,000 BC. And then Moses at 1,500. David at 1,000. The destruction of the first temple by the Babylonians at 500, which then includes the exile and the return from Nehemiah, which we've just been studying about in Sunday school. Then at 0, of course, we have Jesus. The Roman destruction of the second temple. Then at the year 500, we have Christianity authorized, meaning that it was legalized and encouraged by the government, the Roman Empire. And then we have a increasing separation between Gentiles and Jews enforced by that Roman government. And I mean separation of faiths. And then we have, in the year 1000, some very significant things happening. First of all, a group of Hebrew scribes called the Masoretes were carefully hand-copying the Torah, the Tanakh, the entire Old Testament. And they also developed the vowel-pointing system for pronouncing written Hebrew. That was when that was first developed. On your chart, that's what I've written in on the far upper right-hand corner here. And the Aleph is silent, and the one dot under is E. This is Y. This is Vav with the dot above it is O. That's the vowel O. And then V, vet. So it's E, Yov. That's how that works. Maimonides was a philosopher in the Jewish side of the of academia, very, very extremely influential in pointing the Jewish people, now they're completely separated by this point, in their faith toward the scriptures and toward God and keeping a God focus. As human beings, technology improved and they started to rediscover ancient writings and Greek philosophy. And then in the Christian realm, Thomas Aquinas, same thing, extremely influential in using his genius in philosophy to show the necessity of God and to point Christianity back to God and to his word revealed. And so that combination kept a God focus in Judaism and Christianity for 500 years. And it wasn't until the Renaissance that we lost that in Western culture. And then, of course, we had the Reformation, which was a return to God and his word. And now we're due for another 500-year big thing. What is it? I don't think we've had it yet, but we're due for it. So back here to Job now. This is our reference point. This is our time period that we're dealing with. Let's ask I'm going to be really impressed if someone can answer this question. So what language at his time do you think that Job spoke? Anybody? Somebody want to throw out some guesses?
Aramaic, Hebrew.
Aramaic's a very good guess, because he likely lived in the region of Syria in the Fertile Crescent. But actually at this time, and that's the why I asked the question, it's to get us thinking frame of reference, time period. this time is before Aramaic exists as a language. Before that. And of course, it was before Hebrew also. So there is a precursor language that developed in the Sumerian civilization called Akkadian. And it's mentioned in Genesis 10:10, centered around the city of Akkad, which became a dominant city in the Sumerian civilization. And that language, because of its dominance, spread over the entire Fertile Crescent. So it's very likely that the language that Job spoke was Akkadian. Now, who is God? We don't have to go back to really basic stuff and talk about what is God. We know that God is personal. He's not a what, but he's a who. We also know that God, as a who, is also personally interested in us, so we can have relationship with him. These are real basic questions. God gave us his personal name, which is the letters Yud, He, Vav, He. Yud, He, Vav, He. We don't have the vowel pointing there, so we don't know how it was pronounced, because it was, you all know that that was lost sort of purposefully, because it became an understanding that it was only in the few hundred years before Jesus, there was an understanding developed among Hebrew scribes that it was disrespectful to pronounce it. And so it was no longer pronounced. And because there was no writing system with vowel points until 1000 AD, by that time, clearly the Masoretes had no idea how it was pronounced. And if they did, they wouldn't have done vowel points for it anyway, out of that continued tradition of disrespect by pronouncing it. So we don't know how it's pronounced, but Yud Heh Vav Heh are the letters of God's personal name. And that was given to Moses in 1500. Job is way back here. So when we are going to be reading about Job, we have to understand where he's at, culturally, language, and what he knows about God, and what can he know about God, which is why it's so amazing when we read about his faith. And similarly, the faith of Abraham. So in a name come attributes. What are God's attributes? What are his plans? What are his expectations? These are the things that we want and need to know from a personal relationship with another person. Why review these basic things? Well, John was just telling me we met with him up at St. Thomas on Friday afternoon for the first time, and he was just talking about one of his friends actually was with us out to eat, had said that in discussions about abortion, which is there's a lot of that on campus right now with the Supreme Court nomination and that, he's heard a lot that a person doesn't agree with abortion, but they would never presume to tell another person what they should or shouldn't do about it. That's kind of a result of your basic underlying understanding of who God is, what his attributes are, what his plans and expectations are. And we'll learn that that kind of understanding starts here, way back here. Way back here. Also, there's just a whole lot of other things. I just don't have time to go into all the why basics are. Our culture is moving away from these basic understandings more and more and more. So, progressive revelation is a really important concept to understand. Pastor mentions it in his sermon this morning, references that God exists, is personal, and is interested in relationship with us. And the truth of his attributes and his plans, that became increasingly known through this time, through the time of our human history. He didn't change who he was, what he expected, or what his plan was. But the details became increasingly known. And those details that become known don't contradict who he is. Later details don't contradict earlier details. So that's important. So let's talk about who is God. Let's talk about his names or characteristics. In the book of Job, we'll see that the name that is used is that there are these top three names. And in the clip that we watched, Jacob mentioned the name El Shaddai. Job never uses this term, but El refers to a god in the Akkadian / Aramaic language. Akkadian became Aramaic. And Eloah is the same thing in a singular sense, and Elohim is the same thing in a plural sense. And then El Shaddai was something special that started with the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. The interesting thing about El Shaddai is that we are not sure what it means. It's Hebrew/Jewish tradition that it means God Almighty, but there's no certainty of that. One really interesting recent archaeological discovery about the Akkadian language that's becoming increasingly excavated and understood is that in Akkadian, it means mountain. So that El Shaddai then would mean God of the mountain. So, just something interesting there. And so, as you could see, the Aleph, which is silent, is a position point for the vowels, the two dots under E, so El. And here, again, L. This is a sh sound when the dot's above on the right. So El Sha, a line is A. Sha, D, Dai. And the Y sound is put at the end to give up. Shai. So the yud is put at the end to give that kind of a sound. So other names that we see as God progressively reveals details about himself, we see that the I am, we remember when he said, I am who I am. And when you go to tell the Israelites in their captivity who is sending you, tell them, I am sent you. So he's using that phrase, I am, kind of as a name. Do you remember where in Scripture this first appears? This further detail? Right. So it's the beginning of Exodus, chapter 3. Then when does God tell us then his personal name, or when did he tell Moses his personal name? Does anyone know verse and chapter for that? It's actually the very next verse. He tells Moses his personal name. Now, what about, this is an interesting one. What about the Spirit and Holy, the Holy Spirit? When is that first mentioned in Scripture? Think of our timeline. Abraham 1500, Moses 1000, David 500, Jesus 0. When in there do you think that the Spirit of God is mentioned in the first chapter, the first couple verses of Genesis, as a Spirit hovering over the waters? So we have Ruach at the very first verse of the Bible. But what about this idea that the Ruach is holy, Kodesh? When are those two words first put together in Scripture? Anybody have an idea? It's David, Psalm of David, in 1000 BC. All that time has passed, and God has not referred to himself in that way until then. And Kodesh has a very specific meaning in Hebrew. Here we have the sound k, o, vav, with a dot in front, is a vowel that makes the o sound. So ko, d. Oh, I'm sorry. Forgive me. This is ru, ak. So ru, k, ruak. And this is k, ko, with the dot up here, makes the O sound. Ko, d. And all these dots underneath, eh, sh. Again, that's just, there should be a dot over that for the sh sound. So, Ruach Kodesh. Kodesh has a very specific meaning in Hebrew. Does anyone know what it means? We throw around Holy Spirit so much. We grow up, if we grew up in the church, we grew up hearing Holy Spirit, baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We hear it so many times, it goes over our head. We don't even know what it means. So what does Kodesh mean? It means to be set apart. It means to be set apart. And not just in any kind of ordinary way, but it means to be set apart for God. Set apart for a special, spiritual, holy, godly purpose. So when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we're talking about God's Spirit now. As Pastor says in the sermon this morning, which was wonderful, now after the coming of Jesus, post John the Baptist, the Holy Spirit lives in us. But its very name, his very name, means to be set apart. How could he live in us so sinful and yet be set apart? Well, there's only one way, and we know that way. What Jesus did for us, he made that way. And praise God for that. And then Jesus' name, Yeshua, as it was very likely used at his time. So here we again have Yeh, the two dots is a eh sound. So Yeh, sh, the dot here makes it a sh sound. Yeshu, again, vav with the dot in front is the u vowel. And this ayim is a silent character that's used for vowel placement. The lines under are always ah. So, Yeshua. Yeshua. Let's talk about the characteristics of God a little bit. For, we could pronounce it Yahweh, and sometimes I'll just say Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, as a reminder that we don't know the pronunciation. For Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, your Elohim is Elohim of Elohim and Master of Masters, the great El, the mighty and the awesome, who does not respect persons nor takes reward. Hear, O Yisrael, Yahweh is our Elohim. Yahweh is one, from Deuteronomy 6:4. And then, for I, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, do not change. Therefore, you, sons of Yaakov, are not consumed. Yaakov is the Hebrew name for Jacob. And you could see the pronunciation, Yah. You see this ayim is silent, and it has a line underneath. Every time there's a line underneath, it's ah. It doesn't matter if there's dots with it or not. So, Yah, this is K, and V, with the vet. So, Yaakov. All right, so we're going to have some homework. And what we're going to do is we're going to read, would you mind passing these back? Thanks. These back too. Before next Sunday, we're going to do some homework. And what we're going to do is we're going to read from Scripture about the culture that Job lived in. And that is the time period and the culture of Genesis 8 through 11. 8:20 is they step off the ark. And 11:11 ends with the family lineage of Shem. We're going to learn about the God, Elohim, of pre-Abraham. Or the Hebrew pronunciation is Avraham. So, the Elohim of the pre-Abrahamic time. What is he like? What are his attributes? And what are his plans and expectations? And that's what this homework assignment will help you to do. Breaking it down by what Elohim directly says, and then also watching the behaviors of the humans at that time, and then getting understanding from their example. Let's read about God's characteristics. I love it when the plans that I've made for Sunday school connect with Pastor's sermon. Totally unintentional. But I'll just read right up here. I'll move this a little bit so we can. Here we go. Let's see here. All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to contrast two versions. We have the literal English version on the left. And then we have the ESV on the right. And they're very similar, with the main difference being that the LEV retains the Hebrew words and their transliterated pronunciations. So, as a reminder, when you're dealing with a foreign language that does not use the Roman alphabet, there's two ways of transferring that information over into your own language. There's transliteration, and then there's translation. So transliteration is to take the phonetic sounding of that word in the foreign language and phonetically use letters from your own language to approximate the sound of that word. And then translation is when you take that word in the foreign language and you transfer the meaning to a word that's known in your language. So, for example, the very end here, so, Sevaot, Sevaot, that's how that's pronounced. So this is a transliterated, Sevaot is a Hebrew word with specific meaning. That's not a transliteration. A transliteration is, here we go. A transliteration would be, it is a transliteration. So, and the reason is because it's using Roman, we're using Roman characters here of our alphabet to approximate the sound of that word in Hebrew. That is a transliteration. Okay, so Sevaot is not written this way, obviously, in Hebrew. It's written in Hebrew characters. Okay, but here it's written in Roman characters because it's just easier for us to pronounce it and we don't have to read Hebrew, you know, in order to pronounce it. So what does Sevaot mean? Sevaot has a specific meaning in Hebrew, and it means the leader of an armed force for conquering purposes. Okay? So you lose a little bit of that meaning when you say Lord of Hosts. The traditional English translation would be Lord of Hosts, and meaning referencing the hosts of heaven, the armies of heaven, okay, Lord of Hosts. But, you know, it's another one of those things. We see it so many times, we don't get the full meaning. Okay, so let's just read from Malachi God's characteristics. Think God's characteristics, his plans, his desires or wishes for us. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. and the master whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant whom you desire, behold, he comes, says Yahweh Sevaot. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who will stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. And he will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and will purify the sons of Levi and refine them as gold and silver, and they shall offer to Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh offerings in righteousness. Then the offering of Yehuda and Yerushalayim will be pleasant to Yahweh, as in the days of old and as in the ancient years. I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against the perjurers and against those who oppress the hireling and his wages, the widow, the fatherless, and who deprive the sojourner of justice and do not fear me, says Yahweh Sevaot. We could see in the last book of the Old Testament a further revealed detail of God's character, much more so than what Job had available to him at his time. But as we'll read through Job, we'll see that, and yet Job still had this faith, he still had this trust in some of these same elements. Where he got that from, very interesting. But as time goes on and we get further and further detail, we have that further and further advantage, as Pastor talked about in his sermon this morning, wonderful advantage of understanding God and his plan. But we can see here the clear messianic reference to Jesus and what he'll do. God, the righteous judge, providing a way for our sins to be forgiven by him. Does anyone have any questions then that they'd like to ask? Because we're done with the material for this morning. And I just want to open it up. We'll start reading through Job next week.
I didn't quite understand what the assignment
was. Okay. I'm sorry, that was a reminder to me to stop. The assignment is to read through those chapters of Genesis to get an understanding of the God that Job knew, Elohim of the pre-Abrahamic time period. Because we're going to be reading in Job a lot about his righteousness and how impressed God was that Job followed his expectations during his lifetime. But what were God's expectations in Job's lifetime, in his time period? This assignment is to go through and understand what those are. Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mention that, but Hebrew is read from right to left. So let's go. We just go back since we have a little time. I haven't heard that little bell. Oh, there's the bell. So as you can see, Eov. So I'm starting on the right and I'm going to the left. So Eov, right to left. That's how it's written and pronounced. Thanks, good question. If you didn't get that part, whoa, you were really lost.
And the other observation, at least I think that I've been told previously, when the word Lord is all caps,
yes,
that's where the word Yahweh would,
yes,
be.
Traditionally in all English translations, an all capital L-O-R-D is where Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh is in the actual text. Yeah. Thanks for coming this morning. Ooh. Sorry.